B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The unfortunate injury last year, and now a year later, the team is on the brink of a Super Bowl. Do you think that it was a springboard to have you miss a year of experience, a year of reps, and Nick Bosa suddenly pop up on the screen?
Well, things have a way of working out. And so I always told myself it was a blessing in disguise, you know, the ACL and everything. And we got Bosa out of it. So, I mean, that's a pretty good trade-off, I guess. But things have a way of working out, I guess. Just this ride is crazy. You just got to roll with the punches.
Do you care how much credit you get? Because it doesn't seem like you get a lot from the outside world.
As long as we win, I'm pretty happy. So as long as we win.
Murray's guy, Jimmy Garoppolo. You'd really rather have Ryan Tannehill than Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yeah, this year I would. Yep.
How about if you're starting a team tomorrow and you need a quarterback for next year and you could have Jimmy Garoppolo or Ryan Tannehill? Who would you take?
I'd focus on the line. So I would build from the inside
okay.
out.
Who would you pick to fill the quarterback position?
I suppose Garoppolo. I suppose I have to take one of those two hacks. So, yeah, I'll take Garoppolo. Although I would be worried about the females that work in my team and in the organization because this sex pest can't help himself. Feels great, baby.
So you hate him because of us?
Yes.
Okay. Fair. Like, that's a good reason to hate him. I don't know why Patriots fans would be defensive of Jimmy Garoppolo anymore. I mean, because it looks good. Bill picked the next guy. You could have had the next guy, and I'm not even blaming the team for getting rid of him because Brady outlived it. We all know how that all worked out and how that all happened. But I think Jimmy Garoppolo is a positive reflection on the Patriots.
So, do you think Patriots fans feel that way?
No, they don't. They're
right to still be mad. Okay, you got the right guy. Great. What'd you get back for him?
Oh, no, they should
sold low because you're an a-hole?
No, but they should be mad about that. But they should be supportive and prideful of Jimmy Garoppolo because it's like, hey, a-holes. We could have had that guy in one for another 10 years, but we chose not to. I mean, that's how good we are. We're so good. The rest of you all, you know, spend decades flailing around trying to find a quarterback, and we got him coming out of our ears. That's how good we are. Like, if I were a Patriots fan and wanted to be obnoxious, that's how I would feel about it.
Well, that's a good way to feel about it.
But instead, they feel like
they let the next guy go, and they're getting defensive about it.
Yeah, he's like the other woman. Just be happy with what you got. And we're all happy with what we got here. The greatest quarterback of all time.
No, but why
so
should
you have been lusting for the slut.
Oh, so I see what you're saying. That to dodge the second guess, to dodge the criticism that would come with you get rid of the next guy.
Right.
He's not the next guy.
Correct.
Got it.
Right, because then otherwise it hurts too much.
It's just the opposite. You could.
Of course you should celebrate.
You're so good. And Belichick and this team and franchise is so ahead of the game that they just keep plucking quarterbacks. We could have had that guy and won for another 10 years, but we decided to stick with Brady. Lucky for you.
The truth is, like, you know, that Brady outlasted it. Like, that's really what they should say is, you know, our first guy was so good, he played until he was 42. We couldn't squeeze the other guy in. The rules worked against us. Like, that's how you should work it in. But I just think, I don't know, I'm rooting for him. I know you find that shocking. But I would love to see Garoppolo win this Super Bowl.
Not me. You know, you get dug in with a take. You live and die by the take sometimes. And I'm going to die on this hill if I have to.
What makes you think I'm any different, Murray? Yeah. You don't think I'm dug in on this take?
So what's the take again?
I detect pukiness with him. I've seen it. You know, you even saw it last week when he threw that interception to Kendricks in their own territory. It just was ill-advised and stupid. There's a stupidity to his game that I think is evident if you pay close enough attention. I saw it with Goff. I was right there, and I feel like I'm right here. And I am dug in that I am right on Garoppolo.
So
there's a chokiness factor.
There is a chokiness factor with him.
So, well, I mean, he's loose with the ball. That's for sure. But let me frame it this way. If he was the next guy after Brady, would that have been a good choice? Meaning, was that a worthy heir to Tom Brady?
Oh, I'll stick with what I said at the time. I suppose. You know, he'd be like Romo. You win double. You're not winning a Super Bowl with him. So that was my thing. Like, Garoppolo will never win a Super Bowl. Here he is, knocking on the door, getting one. And it's why I'm rooting against him.
So if San Francisco wins, you'll admit that you were wrong.
Yeah, that's what it's going to take.
That's what he previously said if he makes the game.
Still never said that. We've had all week to find that tape.
I'm not going through the archives. I don't care about it that much. But you did say it. Trust me.
I just can't get over that stat. That You know, he's been with the Niners in 2017, 18, and 19. They've played 49 games. Without him, 4-20. With him, 20-5. Like, that is unbelievable. Like, talk about making all the difference in the world.
Okay, so there's a little thought there. Back to your phones on everything that we've done so far today. Paul in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. Do you actually think that that Brady is actually grooming this kid before he leaves and he's get his big money? I think about 36, but it doesn't matter. But, you know,
what the hell is that guy talking about?
Not a clue.
I'm going to drop him before he says something else I have to question.
Something to do with Stidham?
What the heck is he talking about?
Maybe. I don't know.
Dylan in Boston, you go.
So I got to talk about Garoppolo to Murray. This is crazy. If he was the next quarterback.
Dylan, take us off the speakerphone, dude. You got to take us off the speaker, please.
No, I'm in a hallway. Sorry.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, do your best. Hold it like a pizza.
All right. I'm in a bathroom. Listen.
Better.
If Garoppolo was the next quarterback of the Patriots, you'd be talking about how he's unflappable. He's got stones. He doesn't make too many mistakes after a mistake. He's 29-32 after throwing a pick with 120 quarterback rating.
Yeah, and?
And if he – no, honestly, like, let's say he was in the position Stidham was in and Brady's, like, you know, 43 and he was about to take over. You would be so excited that he was the next quarterback of the Patriots. The guy never makes a mistake. He never makes a mistake. The interceptions have never cost him a game, I mean. His picks have never cost them a game. And his teammates love it.
Dylan, thanks for the call. Thanks for, you know, heading out to the hallway to call us.
I'm not looking for a lovable loser. I already lived through that with Drew Bledsoe. So, I'm good. No, and don't tell me how I would feel. I know how I feel. And I feel like I'm right on Garoppolo. That's why I'm going to be rooting against him on Sunday.
His third down numbers, I don't have them in front of me, but he is, in my mind's eye, I've watched a lot of him, you know, because I've invested in this as well. I feel like on third down, he is terrific, like, which is just sort of a mini little money on the table microcosm of what he is. And I think eventually he's going to get his. If his team's good enough, he's going to win eventually. He's good. He's good. I don't know if he's the greatest ever. He's not the greatest ever. I mean, and I don't know if he's an all-timer. I don't know if he's a Hall of Famer. But he's a top 10 quarterback in the league. And if that were your next guy, you'd be ahead of the game. You better hope. I'll say this, Mark. You better hope your next quarterback is as good as Garoppolo, because it could easily not be, and that would be bad. So that's why, if Tony Romo, your next quarterback, you'd be ahead of the game.
The swing on Garoppolo this postseason could be huge, because you know, if he plays well and they win it, people are going to look at the Niners and say, "There's the next dynasty."
We've got Mike in Nashua, New Hampshire. Hi, Michael. Michael. Okay, folks, I'm sorry. You got to call me back. You got to be ready to go. You can't be on a speakerphone if you're in a hallway that echoes. Go into a bathroom stall. Like, come on, work with me. And don't call like the first guy talking nonsense about something I have no idea about. I've got to work to figure out what the F you're saying. Please. Please.
I have a thing to bring up with you off the air about the phones going forward here in 2020.
Go ahead. Bring it up on the air. Go ahead.
Is there now a hands-free law in Massachusetts? I think there is. So people have to call us, talking to us on a speaker or on a dangling participle of some sort hanging from there. Like, is that going to be happening from the cars now?
How does it sound on the car when you go, like, the
Apple CarPlay?
The Apple CarPlay. How does that sound when you talk on that?
I don't know. I mean, I use it, but I don't know if I hear it.
I use it all the time.
How do you sound?
I never get any complaints.
Yeah, but
okay,
you're also not calling sports radio.
Yeah, so I don't know.
We have a high standard here.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah. I just think that.
So here's what I'm saying. If it means you have to break the law,
everyone does anyway.
You're going to have to break the law.
Take a look around. Everyone's looking at their damn phone.
Yeah, and hold the phone like a pizza.
Yeah, and we're worth a $250 ticket or
correct.
Whatever it's going to be.
Correct. Actually, send it to Maz. He'll pay it off.
How expensive.
We've got, how about Tim in Plymouth, since we're talking about it. We'll jump him. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, Felger, we all know that your take on Jimmy G is fraudulent because, let's admit it, Monday morning when Jimmy G wins the Super Bowl, you're going to be the first one to say, "Oh, Pats fans, how do you feel? You guys let the next guy go."
Well, that's part of it. That's part of the allure of it. Because there is, the better he does, well, because Patriots fans are defensive about it. So, like, if they weren't so defensive about it, you know, if Patriots fans embraced Garoppolo and, like, look at how great we are. We picked the next guy. Go Jimmy. I'd be prone to root against him. So, like, it's sort
so
of...
So I've done this? Yeah, I've brought out some of the worst in
well,
your...
Well, no, I mean, yeah, you've started it. Patriots fans have started it with their silly defensiveness over Jimmy Garoppolo for no reason when it really should be a point of pride. So, yes, to tweak you, I go Jimmy.
I mean, look, I've liked him since he was here.
No, so. but it's also defending a take. I thought he could play the second. I saw him that first preseason. I'm like, this kid's good. He's good. He'd be a good heir apparent. You don't know what you're talking about. There's no heir apparent. Oh, okay. Well, how's it working out now that he's gotten a job and a full-time role and a real chance?
He's doing great. Is there anything Garoppolo could do in his career to make having traded him a mistake? You follow me?
Yeah.
In other words, if he wins three Super Bowls, was trading him a mistake?
No. I mean...
No, because you still got another one with Brady, and that's the most important thing.
Yeah, you got one, and he got three. That would be a mistake. Like,
I'm not worried about that.
Okay, I'm just saying. I'm just asking. Like, you know,
it's
I'm not telling. I'm not
telling. Garoppolo.
But hold on. I mean, but it's akin to if Lamar Jackson turns into the next big thing, we're not going to look back at that draft and say you had him.
Exactly.
You had him.
Exactly.
So it's fair. I mean, I would put it along the lines of that, though.
Yes.
You know, not this blatant, obvious mistake. Like, how could you possibly do that? But, well, you actually had a chance at the next guy, and you decided to go another road, and, you know, how did that work out for you?
Yeah, I mean, you won one Super Bowl instead of three, if it ever comes to that. And I'm not telling you it will. I'm just wondering if there's anything he could do to make a change.
We'd do that with any other player, Murray. We would. Yeah. We absolutely would.
I am admittedly unfair when it comes to Jimmy Garoppolo.
Okay, speaking of this, we left the Brady watch to the side yesterday because we were all Red Sox, and what a grave mistake. Well, talk about something I regret, show-wise. Brady Watch. We'll give you the very latest on that right after these words, because we missed it yesterday, damn it.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter, at Felger and Maz. No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Maz.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
The unfortunate injury last year, and now, a year later, the team is on the brink of a Super Bowl. Do you think that it was a springboard to have you miss a year of experience, a year of reps, and Nick Bosa suddenly pop up on the screen?
Well, things have a way of working out. And so I always told myself it was a blessing in disguise, you know, the ACL and everything. And, yeah, we got Bosa out of it. So, I mean, that's a pretty good trade-off, I guess. But, things have a way of working out, I guess. Just this ride is crazy. You just got to roll with the punches.
Do you care how much credit you get? Because it doesn't seem like you get a lot from the outside world.
As long as we win, I'm pretty happy. So, as long as we win.
Murray's guy, Jimmy Garoppolo. You'd really rather have Ryan Tannehill than Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yeah, this year I would. Yep.
How about if you're starting a team tomorrow and you need a quarterback for next year and you could have Jimmy?
It's Bruins game day. Felger and Maz are live at Banner's Kitchen and Tap at the Garden on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Well, why don't I tell you what I know?
Okay.
They don't have a house in Connecticut. That's it.
So it's hard to move to your house in Connecticut.
You don't have one. They don't have a house in Connecticut.
Join the club.
It's something that I was told a few weeks ago. I never had an occasion to really to share it because it was, you know, a lot going on with the football games. And when you go, hey, Tom Brady has no house in Connecticut. But then today I circled back. I said, all right, so there's no house. No, with someone else. Okay, is there a condo? And I'm getting the semantics.
You're trying to get the small print to see if you're getting tripped up there. No,
there's
small
a
print.
Very large apartment that the family has in New York City,
which they've had,
and there's a home in Brooklyn.
Right. What is going on? They obviously heard what Greg Hill was speculating today. They dodged out of town, so then they posted on their IG.
I don't know that.
To disprove this theory.
Maybe. I like this. I like that, though.
Because we don't get a lot workout picks anymore.
I don't know.
Go there. Come on, Tom. Go there.
Well, why don't I tell you what I know?
Okay.
They don't have a house in Connecticut. That's it.
So it's hard to move to your house in Connecticut.
You don't have one. They don't have a house in Connecticut.
Join the club.
It's something that I was told a few weeks ago. I never had an occasion to really to share it because it was, you know, a lot going on with the football games. And when you go, hey, Tom Brady has no house in Connecticut. But then today I circled back. I said, all right, so there's no house.
That one one was so important, we put it on a loop for you.
Yeah.
I'm like, didn't I just hear this?
He doesn't have a house in Connecticut. Does he have a house in Connecticut? He doesn't have a house in Connecticut.
No, we just have to play it every 20 minutes.
No, he's going
to
put it on a loop for you. Okay, so, right, the other day there was rumblings out there that Brady had already moved out of Brooklyn, moved into his house in Connecticut, which I thought was a significant detail, and I believe, you know, like, I believe everything. I take all reports at face value, all speculation at face value. And Tommy Kern comes over the top rope and says, nope, they don't even have a house in Connecticut. And it was interesting. The day, you know, that Greg Hill said that, that day both Giselle and Brady post social media stuff from Boston. Giselle, like, in her kitchen, right, with her dogs?
Yeah, both on their Instagram stories. She was looked like the kitchen in Brookline, a couple of cute little dogs. And then with Brady, he was at the TB12 facility on Boylston Street.
So a couple things. One, the fact that he doesn't have a house in Connecticut. That's significant, if that's true. And two, they're paying attention, aren't they?
So, oh, definitely.
So there's your Brady update. I mean, that's all I can tell you. How do you read into that, Murray? Anything?
No. I mean, I think that that's what it is. Like that day, I didn't think it was a coincidence that they were trying to show, like, hey, we're still here, we're willing to negotiate with the Patriots. Like, I think that's what that reads.
I mean, so not to be a dink about it.
No, it's what I'm looking for.
Okay, but the fact that they don't have a house in Connecticut, are they still selling the one in Brookline?
So it's still on the market, yes.
Okay, so then what difference does it make whether they're moving to Connecticut or New York?
Oh, if they were already there, that would make a difference to me.
Okay, so I hear you on that part of it. Okay,
if they were already in Connecticut, I'd say, yeah, man, he couldn't wait 5 minutes to get the hell out of here.
Okay, but the house is still up for sale.
The house is still up for sale.
Okay, so he still wants to leave.
Well, he still has
depending
the house on the
on
market.
Or she does.
Apparently his neighbor's house, I guess it's a fireman's house, has been on the market for like 3 years or something.
Okay.
I just made that number up. It's been on the market forever.
Yeah, I just, you know, I mean, yeah, I suppose you could glean something from the fact that if they were already out of here, that would be a bad sign. I felt from the very beginning, though, that even if they moved out of here and something were to come through with the Patriots, that he could always, you know, in a pinch, buy a condo or something and commute. He is Tom Brady. He can do things that other people can't do. But I do think that they want it out there that they are still connected.
That they're still here because, again, and this is going to be the subtext to the whole thing. Brady's willingness to push the envelope.
Sure.
And this plays what I'm telling you about. He's not a fighter when it comes to this stuff. He doesn't want to piss people off. And will he have the balls to sign with another team? And I say no. Like, I hope I'm wrong. I've said this a million times, and I've always put retirement first for this reason, because when push comes to shove, he won't have the guts to go sign with another team and piss off everybody here and make those kind of waves. And I think an indication of it was this. He couldn't even stand the thought of a rumor being out there for a day in January that he wasn't in town, to the point where he had to correct it to show everybody, no, I'm here in Boston. I'm on Boylston Street. My wife's home in our kitchen with our dogs. Like, that's how far away I think he is from having the temerity to say, you know what, I'm out. I'm going to be an L.A. Charger or Miami Dolphin. I think he's a million miles away from being able to do that.
I mean, I don't rule that out for a second. Again, I feel like come the moment of truth, there's no way to know what Brady's going to do. And all of his history suggests that ultimately he'll take what the Patriots give him and stay. So it's either what you're saying, that, you know, they want to make it clear that they're still connected to Boston and they want to make sure the Patriots know that too. Or it is one really well-crafted, well-chronicled, or well-orchestrated, choreographed is the word I was looking for, to make it look that way so that when he leaves, he doesn't get accused of tampering. And I don't think it's that. I'm just saying.
So people don't say to him, you already had one foot out the door.
Exactly. Like the San Diego deal was a done deal.
Yeah.
You know, that was in the bag because you bailed out of here as soon as the season was over. So, and I don't think it is that. I'm just saying that, you know, I mean, people are conniving and manipulative.
All right. So there's your Brady update here on Brady Watch Day 12. NBC Sports Boston on the simulcast. How many days until the contract's up now? Are we in the 50s yet? Still 60-something? Throw up the graphic when you can. You're on a little bit of a delay here. It's just so I can get the number right. It's important to me. Paul and Quincy, go ahead, Paul. You're up next.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say, don't you think it's really important to realize that no matter what quarterback we have next year with the personnel that we have, that we're still not going to be that good?
I'm not willing to go there, Paul.
Me neither.
I'm not willing to go there.
What's going to change over the last 6 weeks?
Okay, well, if nothing changes, you're 12-4 and you've won the division, and you are week 17 away from hosting or having a playoff bye.
Not with that schedule next year.
So the schedule's harder. That's fair. That is fair. But no matter who your no matter who your quarterback is, you're winning the division. You're winning the division next year, unless it's some just disaster. But Jared Stidham next year, you win your division.
So I'm not going that far. But this idea that somehow they're going to, you know, I don't agree with it. The roster always changes and everything changes year to year. What if Harry gets appreciably better? What if they get a left tackle, move Wyndergaard, and he's really good? And, you know, like, I mean, and they draft a good tight end. Like, it can change fast. Don't we know that? In the last year, look at Green Bay.
So
Green Bay sucked last year.
Here's what I'm thinking about next year. And it's already, I don't know, either annoying me or challenging me or it's crawling in my head. And that is how everyone, I'm telling you, Patriots fans, you're going to hate whoever the next quarterback is. Because I'm already hearing it. It's like, Jared Stidham, he threw an interception in his only pass this year against the Jets. He sucks, Garoppolo sucks. He's going to throw a pick. Oh, Eli Manning. Idiot. Andy Dalton.
He's definitely an idiot, Eli Manning.
The red rifle. Andy Dalton
he deserves
sucks.
That too.
Like, no matter who it is, people, he's not going to be Tom Brady. He's not going to be the greatest of all time. Don't you get it? But I don't think people do. And it's like, he sucks. Yes, he's going to suck. Whoever the next quarterback is compared to Tom Brady is going to suck because Brady's the greatest of all time. So just try and figure that out.
Prepare for it.
And if the next quarterback is good, even really good, just not amazing, take it and be reasonable about it. But I don't think it's coming because there's not a name out there that people like. Teddy Bridgewater, he gonna cost too much money. Hawaiian Tebow, Marcus Mariota, Hawaiian Tebow. I don't want him. You want him? The only thing people want to do is to draft Trevor Lawrence or the Burrow kid. Like, you're not going to get those guys.
Nope, then I'm ready to hate.
You're not going to get Trevor Lawrence. You're not going to get Joe Burrow. You can't go from the 24th pick to the first when the first pick is a real player. You can't do it. It's not going to happen.
Well, does this surprise you, though? This is the definition of being spoiled.
Oh, my God.
This is the definition of it.
Freaking spoiled. It's so spoiled. If your next quarterback is the quality of Jimmy Garoppolo, take the money and run. It means you've got a viable quarterback next because you could easily be the Miami Dolphins, who's 30 years later still don't have one, or the Chicago Bears, who have never had one since. Who was the guy?
Sid Luckman.
Since Sid Luckman, and they've never had a guy. Like, you could be a team like that. So if you have Tony Romo quality as your next guy, Murray, or Jimmy Garoppolo guys, your next, take it.
Yeah, good enough never is. One of the great life lessons I've learned.
Oh, it's so ridiculous. The next guy is not Tom Brady. Don't you get it? And you're not going to get Trevor Lawrence. You're not going to get Joe Burrow. You're not. It's not going to happen.
Trevor Lawrence.
Then I'm
going
to be defiant.
Oh, my God. How do you live like that? Back to your phones after Murray's update. Don't go anywhere.
From Banner's Kitchen and Tap at the Garden, it's Bruins Game Day with Felger and Mass on your home of the Bruins. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Playing behind Brady, what are some of the takeaways that you can get to prepare for this? And have you talked to him about this game and the Super Bowl coming up in preparation?
I haven't personally talked to him, but just, you know, things that I took away from watching him go through it and everything is just, you know, the consistency that he had throughout the entire run, whatever it was, the first playoff game, the Super Bowl. He was very consistent between all of it, and I think that just goes to your preparation throughout the week. If you're prepared going into the game, then you're going to play like that.
More Jimmy Garoppolo. It's too bad he and Brady don't talk.
That's true.
Because, again, I don't know why, but this, I don't get that rationale. It's like, if Garoppolo does well, Brady can take some credit for it. And the Patriots trade credit for it. You created the next guy.
Like, oh, see, I think Garoppolo talks, Brady just ignores him.
Like, why wouldn't you want to own that? I don't understand you. Like, the levels of your sensitivity, it gets stupid. I mean, this should be a guy that you take ownership of. You created. And if Brady talks to the guy and he goes out and he plays well, it's like, well, that's because Brady gave him the magic sauce.
Kid tried to steal his job.
Someone emailed me these, and it's, you know, I said it to the top of my head because as I watch the Niners, I watch Garoppolo. I feel like he's really good on third down and sort of got to have it plays. He's pretty good in that. He generally comes through. This stat is percentage of first downs while passing on third down. So the number of times you pick up a third down throwing. The number one quarterback in the league in that is Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo completes 50% first downs when throwing on third. So he's 65 of 130 picking up first downs when throwing on third. Cousins was second, Breeze was third, Deshaun Watson was fourth, etc. So Garoppolo was the number one quarterback in the league on that. Furthermore, my emailer here, thanks for this, Aaron, says fourth quarter passing stats. Jimmy Garoppolo, fifth-rated quarterback in the NFL in the fourth quarter. He's only thrown one interception in the fourth quarter. He's also fourth in the NFL in fourth quarter completion percentage at 70%. So that sort of backs up what I see with my naked eyes, that when they need him, he's generally there.
Right.
They don't always need him. But that doesn't excuse the turnovers in the middle of the game. He definitely, that has to clean up for him to go to the next level. Here's Eric in the car. Eric, what do you got for us? You're up next with Felger and Mass.
Hey, guys. How's it going? I really do think that if Brady does come back next year, I think the team gets better. Reason one, because Devlin and Andrews are coming back. I think we lost Devlin this year. It was a huge impact. I mean, for example, you saw back when we were playing Tennessee just before the second
half. Why are you shaking your head? Hold on, caller Maz. Why are you shaking your head? What's the matter?
Because it's not about Devlin. You want to give me Andrews, I'll take Andrews. It's not about Devlin.
It is about Devlin. Go back to Tennessee. Go back to the Tennessee game right before the first half. And we're running the ball. It's like first and goal. And we didn't have Devlin in there. You tell me that if we had Devlin in there, we would score. It would change the impact of the game. Now, that's just one example. You go back to the Philly game. I think it was the Philly game. Brady's doing a QB sneak from 2 yards out. No, you run the ball. Devlin gets in there. We slam that. That's a touchdown. Devlin's a huge impact on this team.
He's not a huge impact. He's not. They put a Landon Roberts in there and got some of the results out of him, or Jakob Johnson when the little bit that he was in there. You can put a linebacker in the back. Now, I'm not telling you Roberts is great at it. I like Devlin as a blocker, too. If the injury to James Devlin is what took you down, you suck.
No, you shouldn't, because they kind of did suck this year.
So listen, you should be better with Brady over anyone next year, especially Stidham, because he's much better than Stidham. But if the conditions remain the same and the arc of it remains the same, then I'm not confident in that. In other words, they lowball Brady on the contract. He takes it grudgingly because it's the only thing there and he doesn't want to go anywhere else. But if you're going to pay me less, I'm not going to show up in the offseason, and I still hate the people you've surrounded me with, and I'm still sort of resentful of the whole thing, the way that you haven't taken care of me at the end of my career after I've done all this for you over the years. I'm just looking for a little respect, and you won't give it to me. I'm going to play, but I still don't believe in these pieces around me, and I'm not going to show up extra because you're not paying me. If that's the way it's going to be again, why would you expect it to be any better? It's done nothing but get worse for two straight years.
Yeah, I mean, you know how I feel about the quarterback position. So, like, I just, the James Devlin thing drives me up the wall. It absolutely drives me up the wall. The fate and future of the Patriots depends on the fullback. I think James Devlin needing to be there says more about Sony Michel than it does about James Devlin.
Chris in Chicago on the B's. Go.
Mike, I can't believe that you actually criticized Don Sweeney maybe earlier. But on top of that, Tyler Toffoli, maybe we should see if Lee Stepniak is available while we're at it. Can someone over there actually make a big boy trade? Let's get someone good, okay? No more Marcus Johansson and your boy Charlie Coyle. Looking really good right now, isn't he?
He was great when it mattered. Those two guys were your best players last year. What are you talking about? They're your best players when it mattered. Who cares what little slumps or whatever they look like through stretches of the regular season? You got him in fantasy? Ah, tool bag. Coyle and Johansson were your best players last year.
How's Coyle been this year, though? He's got a point.
He's fine.
Yeah. I just worry with Coyle that...
Coyle's going to be there when it matters. You watch.
I just worry with Coyle that it's matchup related. So, you know, if he's your third center, you're fine.
He's not a winger. They're playing him at right wing with Krejci. He's not a wing.
Okay, so if he's your second center, is that good?
So he's playing out of position, and I saw it last year. I was frustrated with him last year. I'm like, where are the points? You know, he doesn't really produce, but...
Is he a second-line player?
Yeah, I think he can be, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So I have my doubts.
A second-line center.
I understand that. That's why I said if he's in the middle on the second line, does that matter?
He's not a second-line wing. He's not a winger.
I'm not sure he's a second-line player, period. I thought they overpaid him, but let's see.
Yeah, see, I don't care what his regular season production is. I really don't. I mean, he's got to give you a little something, and if you're about to miss the playoffs or something like this, then yes. But I think his game translates to the postseason. I expect him to be back there. I think he's the least of your problems. Paul in Brockton. Go ahead, Paul.
Am I out of line here? You know, when is Brandon Carlo going to play up to his size? I mean, I see that guy go into the corner. He's bigger than everybody there, and he just cruises in. He sticks his stick in there. And he never just clears it out. Never just clears it out and take the puck.
Okay, I hear you. I thought you were going to say, when's Brandon Carlo going to step up, like, after the whistle, be that guy? And I just think, I don't know. I'd like to see it, too, I suppose. I like Brandon Carlo.
I don't have a huge problem with Carlo.
I think he's a good fourth defenseman,
yeah,
which is what he is.
I mean, I don't have a huge problem with him. He's improved. You know, this year it's probably plateaued a little, but he made a huge jump last year. I don't have a major issue there.
Could it be tougher? Yeah, the whole team could be tougher. So, like, the whole DNA of the team could be tougher. That's one of the things we're hitting on today. We'd start off by asking who's pissing you off more right now, the Celtics or the Bruins. So that remains on the table through the end of the show. All that football stuff is on the table through the end of the show. Coming up next, we'll get back to the latest on the Red Sox and the cheating scandal across Major League Baseball. Don't leave your radio.
Sports. Felger Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's
at the entrance to the garden at Banner's Kitchen and Tap. Felger and Mass are live for Bruins game day on 98.5 The Sports Hub and the Sports Hub app.
Now to the fallout growing from that World Series cheating scandal. The Red Sox firing manager Alex Cora, who helped both the Houston Astros and the Red Sox
cheat. It started with Spygate.
That loser Tomazzi made all that up.
And the stopping of those tapes.
Nobody can know about this.
Then the scheme with the balls got uncovered and spoiled.
Stop denying science, Felga. Ideal cast law.
Who cares? We got six rings.
Yeah, kiss the rings.
Is what the Pats fans say.
They hate us because they hate us.
Now it's the Red Sox with drama and broil.
The Sox issuing a joint statement with Cora announcing they have mutually agreed to part ways.
Skating away again here in Cheaterville.
You guys are making all this up. You're a couple of drama queens.
Alex Cora stealing signs so they draw walks.
And so that Jackie Bradley Jr., who sucks, can hit .272 with runners in scoring position.
Sox fans will claim that there are other teams to blame, but they know.
We don't know nothing, f*** you.
That last title's a crock.
Asterisk, asterisk, asterisk.
Thanks to Big Jim Murray for putting that together. So what's the latest here in, I don't know what day this is of the Red Sox cheating, at day two post-Cora. These interesting revelations about the Houston Astros players potentially wearing buzzers inside of their jerseys to be tipped off by the guy in the monitor, watching the monitor inside the tunnel to fastball curve. And again, this came out online. Murray, why don't you tell the story again? Who came out with it originally?
So it's someone that's saying that they are the niece of Carlos Beltran. And this person has been posting, let me find it exactly, that the Astros were using buzzers, like a buzzer device, under their jerseys, specifically during the ALCS against the Yankees last year. And what she specifically says is that Jose Altuve, of all people, she knows that he was getting buzzed from someone that was working in their video department during games while wearing this thing, so he knew what pitch was coming. And the evidence that now that social media is, you know, it's blowing up social media is that in one of the games last year that he had a walk-off against the Yankees in the ALCS, he's about to cross home plate, Altuve is pointing to his teammates at home saying, don't take my jersey off.
Is this last year or 2018?
This is last year.
Or 2017. It was just this, so a couple months ago is what you're saying.
2019.
Yeah,
right.
2019.
Okay,
yeah.
Go on. Keep going.
And so, you know, that's that. That's this person. So it's either, and now ESPN is trying to discredit this person, saying that they've spoke to the family, saying that there is no niece. This has nothing to do with Carlos Beltran and his family. But it does sound like it's somebody. This person has since put out, you know, information that has come to light that ended up happening. I mean, this person also said Carlos Beltran a couple of days ago was going to end up stepping down as manager of the Mets. That has since happened. Now Trevor Bauer is backing these allegations that some Astros players, namely Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman, wore wire devices with buzzing effects to help them know which pitch was coming while batting.
Trevor Bauer from the Indians?
It's from USA Today.
How does he know?
I don't know. I'm just reading this right now. Reds pitcher. You're asking me here on the fly.
Okay, it's okay. Read it. So if you're just joining us, or
Bauer tweeted today, he's heard from multiple parties that the system evolved beyond the trash can noises to players wearing buzzers inside their uniforms. New York Post is reporting they MLB explored wearable devices. They found no evidence to substantiate it. But Bauer, again, has heard this from, you know, this, based on what this person was tweeting.
Okay, so
I don't believe MLB.
Okay, me neither.
Right,
me,
they're just trying to sweep this thing under the rug as quick as they possibly can.
I think they quickly went to a containment strategy.
Definitely.
Okay? We're gonna hammer the Astros, and we're gonna try and not let it go anywhere from there. Tim Donaghy, rogue official.
Sure.
And so we don't have a problem in the game. We don't have a problem in the sport. It was one team that got carried away, and this is not a problem in Major League Baseball. And there was also a report today, I can't remember, I heard the midday talking about it, maybe Verducci, said that the Manfred's office in Major League Baseball heard about the Red Sox stuff, but were going to handle it privately.
Correct.
And then The Athletic came out with their story, Drellick and Rosenthal, with three ex-Red Sox sources saying we were doing this too.
Correct.
And so that's when Manfred said, okay, now I have to do something. But if that Athletic story had not appeared, according to Verducci, Manfred was just going to do it, quote-unquote, privately.
Yep.
Meaning nothing.
Yeah. Sweep it under the rug.
Okay, and this, I think they're totally trying to contain this because, again, you said there's reports that said baseball investigated the wearable device and found no wrongdoing. I don't believe them.
I don't either.
I don't believe them.
New York Post. Yeah, Joel Sherman tweeted about it. They said they have no evidence to substantiate it. But, again, that doesn't mean it's not true. So, MLB is not saying it's completely false.
So we were just showing it on the NBC Sports Boston simulcast as well. There's pictures of, is it J.J. Redick?
Yeah.
With tape over his right shoulder.
Josh Reddick.
He's not the shooting guard. The with tape over his right shoulder in post-game interviews. And people are wondering, well, is that where you had your little device taped? Because that's what the report says, right? Right shoulder. And this is more on his right pec, but still.
Still, if you try to discredit it, you'd say, like, oh, well, maybe they put a mic on him to do the post-game interview. No, he's holding a handheld microphone.
He's wearing a mic
flag.
So
what the hell is that that's taped on him?
So, and that the video that's going around, and when you get home or if you look at it, the video going around of Jose Altuve hitting home plate and everyone surrounding home plate and him saying to the guys as he's crossing home plate and pointing at his chest, no, 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 on the jersey, looks so freaking incriminating, I can't tell you.
Of course, yes, look, and if you're asking me in my gut, do I think it was happening? Yep, I do.
Me too.
Yeah,
The Astros are filthy. They are filthy. That's a dirty franchise. And so, look, they've been, you know, busted on other things, for crying out loud. The whole thing with the assistant GM that happened during the playoffs. I mean, that was insulting, for crying out loud. As a human being, it was insulting.
Congratulations to the simulcast for turning that around so quickly. Have I been saying J.J. Redick all day?
No. I think that might have been the first time you said it, but now we know.
Okay, Josh Redick. Yeah. But the point is, so that's on Houston. What you have to be holding your breath for, if you're a Red Sox fan or you're the Red Sox, that this stuff doesn't now start, you know, people don't start digging harder on the Red Sox. And are there any players that crossed home plate that didn't want anyone ripping their jersey off? You know, can we go back and find those walk-offs?
Right.
And see if Jackie Bradley or Mookie Betts or Xander Bogaerts got to home plate and said, no, keep my jersey on. Let's see if that exists.
I mean, hey, you know, as far as I'm concerned, any digging that takes place, the Red Sox brought on themselves. Again, they completely violated the Apple Watch edict. They did it again under Cora. First of all, they hired Cora when I think they had doubts about what was going on in Houston, too, which means they knew he was in the middle of it. And they brought him in here. They wanted some of the same edges and advantages that other teams were getting because I think they're, you know, obviously there were rumors about the Astros. You're hearing rumors now that the Yankees, the Dodgers, all these teams were doing some sort of thing and that the problem had gotten so rampant that eventually Manfred had to do something about it like this. And again, none of which were to come out without the Athletic reporting. So,
oh, that's what. So, I mean, his hand was forced because of Rosenthal
totally.
And Drelick.
Mostly, Drelick was the first one, right? So, you know, Rosenthal.
Manfred's trying to contain it.
Absolutely, he is. Yes, he's trying to contain it. Is right.
And so that might be good for you. That might be good for you, meaning the Red Sox, because if he can just blame the Astros, just blame the garbage cans, and say this is all they were, this is the only one that was really doing it to this degree, this is all they were doing, and there's nothing to see here. Again, Tim Donaghy was a rogue ref acting alone. I mean, in some ways you say from a business standpoint, that's a smart play for him. You know, I'm sure his fellow owners are saying to him, this is what we want. We can't show that the sport had a problem. We just blame it on one rogue team that crossed the line.
Mike, I think this thing was orchestrated from the beginning. I told you that. I think the league was in communication with the teams involved. The plan was to keep it under wraps with the Red Sox. But, obviously, Cora was a part of that report. Beltran was in that report. They've both been fired. I think that there's been communication between the league and the owners of these teams.
Okay, we had quite a bit of stuff today, so you can weigh in on all of it. Who's pissing you off more right now, the Bruins or the Celtics? That's how we started. Who's got most at stake this weekend in the NFL? Who needs the next Super Bowl the most? Does Andy Reid need it more than Aaron Rodgers or vice versa? That's what we talked about. The Brady Watch is still on. We can do that. And the latest tier on cheating in Major League Baseball. It's all on the table now, I promise. Right to your calls after a 90-second update from Murray. There are no commercials.